My name is James Sagerton. This is the May 9th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Board's National Finance Committee. We believe we have achieved quorum, and I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to call the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Sean Kelly McPherson? James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay, that's six. That is a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. So now we're going to move to number three on our agenda, which is adopting the agenda. I'll read the agenda. It's number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, the minutes for 5 minutes. Number five, presentation and review of the WPFW fiscal year 23 draft budget for 40 minutes. Number six, report of the executive director for 30 minutes. Number seven, review and select a budget timeline, 30 minutes. Number eight, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Are there any, is there any discussion or additions, subtractions from the agenda? Is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, that's adopted. We will now move to number four on our agenda, the minutes. R. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, we do. I move that we approve the minutes of the March 28th, 2023 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? I actually have a question, R. Paul. You can tell me if this is advisable. In the minutes, you reported that I believe it was Stephanie was reporting what the rent was for WPFW, and I think it was understated by maybe $3,000 or $4,000. But that's, you know, if that's what she said, that's what she said, and so that's what should be in the minutes. I appreciate that. Is this an appropriate time to ask Stephanie to clarify that? I'm asking you, R. Paul.
Okay. So this is something on the WPFW rent? Oh, I remember it was 12 going to 5 is what she said, right?
Yeah. And actually, I think it's – I just read something, and I had thought it was more closer to 20, but I just read something where it was 17. So I just wanted Stephanie to clarify that if she could, because, you know, we're now going through a situation where PFW is – contemplating a move, and the amount of savings involved is becoming important.
This is Stephanie. Yeah, I thought that the rent was around 15, but how convenient can it be that Jerry's here and he could answer that question?
Yes. The rent is closer to $17,000 a month currently. So it's 16 and change, approaching 17,000. The move that we are trying to execute at this time would yield a 75% savings in rent, going from just over 16,000 to under 5,000 a month, a $12,000 savings.
I had heard someone say it was a $14,000 savings. It's not quite that. It's more like 11,000 a month.
11,000, 12,000, yeah.
And Jerry, one final question. Does that include off any fees or any, you know, any other things that might be involved in the rent? I know at WBAI we pay the tower rent, but then we also, there are fees associated with that. But I presume with the, your office location, that's not the case.
Correct. It is not the case. Our tower rent is entirely separate facility. So the rent that is being stated is the rent that includes the utilities for the facility. There is a small relocation cost in terms of suitability construction that has to occur, but we're paying that all up front, and it will not be built into the rent.
Got it. Okay, we can get into more of that when we talk about the budget, if people are so inclined. Are there any other questions about the minutes? Any other discussion on the minutes?
This is Sharon.
This is Alan. I just want you to know I'm here.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Thanks for letting us know. Go ahead, Sharon.
I think our Paul has said before that the minutes should remain as they are because they reflect what happened at that time. And it would be more appropriate to try to correct the information during the agenda part of when the discussion is happening.
Indeed, I think that's correct. That's why I asked the question, and I agree with you on that. Yes, okay, so any other discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to approving these minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved with the existing proviso that they can be modified any time if a member chooses to bring that question up. That brings us to number five, the presentation and review of the WPFW fiscal year 23 draft budget. Jerry, we earmarked 40 minutes for this, but you know, okay, if it takes less or longer, we can be flexible.
Okay.
But go ahead, Jerry, the floor is yours.
Okay, I am standing by, and we do have the 2023 draft budget. I am looking at that budget. I will first ask, is this a shared document? Is everybody else able to see the 2023 draft budget?
That's a very good question, Jerry. I should have asked if everybody has it open in front of them. On the NFC, we have a policy where everybody is expected to keep up with what's on our mailing list, our email list, and the budget was posted on the list today. So many people may not have had a chance to review it. That's why I suggested before the meeting started that we might need to come back to this in a couple of weeks at our next meeting. But I trust that everyone who is able to and who wishes to has it open and is looking at it as we proceed. Does anybody need another minute to open the budget?
I have it in front of me. This is Beth.
Very good. Okay, hearing no one requesting extra time to get to it, Jerry, let's just assume that everybody is looking at it.
Okay, excellent. Just in terms of the overview, the first elephant in the china shop, if you will, is that this is a deficit budget. We are showing a deficit here, but I will also say that it's a very conservative, if not skeptical, budget, because we're looking at things in terms of our historical performance and using historical data and making very conservative estimates at what the fiscal year is going to look like, you know, trying to be realistic. It is kind of dynamic, and it may change depending upon P&B decisions as relates to the move of the station, because if we do, in fact, make this move, it will radically impact this budget because we will be realizing a savings of approximately $144,000 a year. So that changes our expenses kind of radically and kind of balances things out. Realizing where we are financially and trying to make a balanced budget, we have strategies at work to increase revenues at the station. We have our standard pledge drive, one of which is underway. Well, not at this moment, because we have a pledge drive that began on the 7th and it's continuing to the 28th, but it is interrupted today because we are carrying the PRA one-day pledge drive until midnight tonight. And so far, the feedback is good. Mark Torres has said that they're getting a lot of calls from the signal area here. So it seems like a worthwhile effort, and the strategy of doing the PRA pledge drive today on a Tuesday kind of fits for us because Tuesday is typically a fairly slow pledge drive for us. So the opportunity cost is reduced. So in terms of our real operational adjustments to increase revenue to the station, we had to, first of all, suffer through the pandemic. We have a board that typically would host fundraising events that are historically social events, music and social events, but because of the pandemic, those events were canceled over the past couple of years, and that created a small hole in the budget, not a big hole enough to account for the deficit, but nonetheless significant. So we are bringing those off-air strategies back into play. We will be doing a blues festival this summer. We'll be doing a jazz festival also this summer. We've added some new mechanisms. Where we had been doing certain social events and selling tickets to those events, we've added a sponsorship tier where somebody could sponsor several tables or just be credited as a sponsor at our events, and those have received some good responses. So that new strategy is working. And as Pacifica has or is in the process of relaxing rules in terms of how we can accept funding, in terms of looking at other revenue strategies, we've increased our presence locally in terms of our media sponsorship presence. That's a mechanism that we have used where we are sponsors for live music events. You know, of course, everybody should know WPFW's programming is basically 65% music and 35% public affairs, which gives us a great deal of flexibility in terms of doing presentations and utilizing the local venues. Other venues have decided to sign up also. Currently, we have one major venue that we've been the media sponsor for. Locally, it's known as Bethesda Blues and Jazz. There's another major venue that we just yesterday accepted a proposal from. That is a venue locally known as Wolf Trap. So we are activating a media sponsorship relationship with them whereby we do certain PSAs on air to promote their live music events, and they pay us a fee. And the first one has been working for us nicely, so we're looking to replicate this with one more venue, and we've got two other venues stacking up to do the same. We emphasize that we have always supported live music, and pre-COVID, we had a live music broadcast in studio that was very well received in our listening area. Although it didn't make much money in pledge drive, it was still a good marketing tool for the station. The show was called Live at 5, and operationally, it was a bit of a nightmare because we hosted a live band in the studio on almost a daily basis. And in our listening area, that show was rated as the number one live music program in our listening area because it was the only live music program in our signal area. Again, it shut down because of COVID. And with the relaxation of the pandemic, those rules are relaxing, and we're looking to maybe bring back a similar type broadcast like the one that we had been doing, albeit in another location. The location that we are moving to, although it is a smaller operational facility, ergo the reduced rent, the building features a much larger shared space, one that is large enough actually for us to do, for instance, that live musical program to air, but the space is also large enough for us to have ticketed events within our building. We think the room can hold 150 people, and we'll build a ticket structure so that we can realize, hopefully, a few hundred or a few thousand dollars a month in-house, because the proposed lease agreement includes a once-a-month free use of that gathering space. So we've got those things in place, you know, to, you know, try to balance the budget. And, of course, there are the expense reductions that we'll realize if and when we sign off and get the full approval of pursuing the move to the cheaper location. It is actually a better location for us operationally, so there isn't an operational sacrifice in making the move. It's a win all the way around. I can entertain questions on specific items on this budget. I don't know how this meeting typically proceeds in terms of detailed views about the budget. So, Jim or Julie, give me a little help here, and I can proceed.
Gary, if you're done with your overview, or if you are you done with the overview, or do you just want to pause now and take some questions and then go back to your narrative, or how did you have it worked out?
I think that's a pretty descriptive narrative or discussion overview. So I can just go straight to questions. And if people would like for me to continue the overview, I will continue after questions.
Well, I think the questions may lead to that naturally. So I have a few questions, but I'll take a stack and see what anybody else has to ask. Your questions?
I have a question.
Hello, and this is Sharon. I have a question.
Okay, I got you, Teresa. I hear you. Let me just see if we can get a little stack here. Anybody else?
Sharon?
Sharon, gotcha. Anyone else for now? Okay, why don't we go ahead with Teresa?
It looks like a lot of things are very modest. I would like to know, you spend $149,000 a year on consultants, temps, and contractuals, and who would that be? What positions would that be, I should say? Not in individual names, but what positions?
In terms of regular positions, that would be our chief engineer, our office administrator, our current public affairs director, that will be moving to a staff position shortly, and at least one and or maybe two board operators who also will be who are being onboarded and are on track to become regular staff. But they start as consultant contractors. And that $149,000 turns out to be also a figure that includes incidental contract services. We've had to have HVAC contractors on board to help us maintain air handling in the facility. I believe when we use phone services for our pledge drives, that is also a consultant type expense, and that is part of that $149,000. So we're fairly modest in are used as contractors. In terms of my understanding of the overall use of contractors in the foundation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, this is Sharon.
I just called your name to the ether, so go ahead, Sharon. Okay. I was muted, sorry. Okay.
I thought so. Yes. Hi, Jerry. I don't think we've ever spoken before, and I just want to thank you for a very clear presentation that was easy to understand and to follow. So I thank you for that. And I also wanted to take the opportunity to say that I understand that your station does 65% music and 35% news, but I happen to enjoy Garland Nixon, who's, I believe, out of your WPFW station. And so I want to say thank you for having him on the air. And I wish that he was on other stations across the network, because I actually think he's quite good. Just taking the moment to say that. But the question I have is it's just a simple question. I thought it was interesting what you were saying about the move. And I'm just wondering when it possibly could happen.
It is scheduled, actually, to happen, again, depending upon decisions that have to be made by the board. We are scheduled to move in July. Our current lease, where we are, expires in August. Hmm. So one or of two things has to happen. Either we renew our current lease agreement at almost $17,000 a year, or we sign off on the move to the new location. The lease extension is kind of in flux right now because they're not offering a full-term lease. It might be just a yearly or month-by-month lease, because there's some speculation as to what's going to happen to the building that we're currently in. There has been talk of selling that building. So anything that we do will only last for a few years at best if the option is to stay at 1990. So a move is going to have to happen in the near future, but an opportunity like the one we're looking at right now is not likely to appear again anytime soon. Although we have allowed our board time to independently do their own search, because management, myself, and my staff acted rather abruptly when we came upon this opportunity. And I admittedly say that we didn't follow full process, if you will, by going through all of the committees and letting them, excuse me, weigh in on the option, because it was something that could expire rather quickly. There was demand in this town for such space, and the other people were applying for the space, so we had to act quickly. So,
well,
long story short, the move is going to happen in July.
Well, let's hope it does, because from everything you've said, it sounds like a really great opportunity. And I mean, whatever, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I sometimes think that we need to take much more realistic action around finances, and taking action sometimes is required to, you know, take a hold of opportunities that are there. So anyway, thank you. That was my only question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you approved.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, well, no, just, you know. Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, anyone else with a question?
R. Paul?
And let me see if there's anybody else behind you, R. Paul. Anyone else? Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, you said that one of the contractors was phone services for the on-air fundraisers, and isn't okay. I don't understand quite that. Is it a company a call service that you're using, or is it you have specific people who come in and you pay them to answer the phones and stuff?
No, it's a specific call service. We use a company called Telerep, and they've worked quite well for us. We're looking at other services, but it's a company that we've been using on a fairly regular basis.
Okay. Shouldn't that be a vendor rather than a consultant?
Yes, it should. And we have some discrepancies in reporting, you know, how things are categorized in within the budget, and we'll make those adjustments. There are a few things that probably have to be relabeled.
Thank you.
Jerry, I'm going to step in now, just apropos of that last conversation. I'll get right back to you, Teresa.
Let me back
are
on
you,
thank you.
Gotcha, yep. Are you working with Stephanie and Markeisha, Jerry, and will you go back to them to make these adjustments, especially in terms of how you're coding certain items?
Yes.
Good.
Myself, Kamal, my office administrative assistant, Annette, we're all in fairly regular communications.
Is this the first time that D&B members and Stephanie and Markeisha are seeing this budget? Have they seen it before, or is this their first time to see it?
I think Mao would have the answer to that. I think this might be their first time seeing it. Stephanie, had you seen the budget before?
No, I haven't.
No, I didn't think so.
It might be good if more people saw it before you brought it to us. I appreciate that you brought it to us because we've had a dearth of budgets to consider recently, but sometimes it's better to have more eyes on it before it comes here than fewer, but that's just a suggestion.
Agreed. And there have been eyes on it, but we needed to go up, you know, the food chain because our finance committee has had a chance to review it to some degree.
Yeah, my understanding was your finance committee reviewed it and it went to your LSB and they approved sending it on to us. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that was the process. Kamal, can you confirm?
I believe that's the case. Now, if you want to weigh in on any of this, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, the process was just that. The budget was presented, reviewed in the finance committee, approved or recommended to go to the LSB, and then LSB recommended it be sent on here to this committee.
Thank you for that. As per our bylaws, thank you. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, I see. How much do you make in your pledge drives every year?
I have to take a look at the column that has the totals. But our annual budget is $1.3 million.
$1.3 million.
Yes, and distributed amongst four pledge drives. Each typically having an average goal of $300,000. That puts us at a total of close to $1.3 million. And, of course, we do other operations besides pledge drives to bring
in. Looking in your development expenses, I do see fund drive / telemarketing expenses. So maybe you don't have it wrong. Maybe you don't have it under consultants, because it does say under development, telemarketing expense, and it averages out $26,000. Stephanie, if that's roughly the same that other stations are paying for the telemarketing services. Are you having any luck getting ideas or suggestions from the other stations and perhaps being able to utilize some of the things that they're doing that maybe came in handy for your station? You could say no.
I think we're actually, perhaps we're more a model that is sharing techniques with the other signal areas. Although we are sharing quite a bit. I mean, Chief Engineer Mo Thomas has been working in almost all of the signal areas. We are collaborating with some other signal areas. For instance, I don't know if it was you had, I think it was, I have to keep up here. Somebody had mentioned that they liked Garland Nixon. Well, Garland Nixon is also on KPFK's air, so we're sharing resources. Our news is featured on WBAI's air, so we're collaborating and sharing resources, not so much ideas quite yet.
Because I just wondered, I'm assuming that National Office is working to see if we could maybe use some of the same banks and reduce some of the bank expenses. We did, I guess, about 15 or so years ago, we had someone come in and said, okay, well, we are this bank, and you could save if all of your stations used one bank, for example. But I just wondered about that. There was something else I wanted to ask. My last question, and it's looking very positive so far. The question about grants. I don't see any grants. Do you have anybody working on that? Are you not getting grants because of the overall financial situation of the entire foundation, or are you just not applying, or do you not have a staff member to have that, to apply for grants, or what's your experience with grants?
We just increased the responsibility of two of our people to include development. So we are now actively in pursuit of grants. We don't technically have a grant writer on hand. One of the things that we're experiencing in this signal area is that we are, WPFW in Washington, D.C., is actually Pacifica, according to our EIN number. We are chartered in California and are therefore operating in Washington, D.C. as a foreign entity. And we do not qualify for a large number of local grants. There's arts and humanities grants here. We can't get any of that. And with previous leadership, we had started to explore briefly the concept of maybe somehow turning signal areas into hybrids so that we're not foreign entities and qualify for some of the local grants. Despite not being chartered in Washington, one of the things that we're looking at is doing workforce development here, where we train people in broadcasting and receive workforce development grant dollars for doing so. It's a lot of work, but it also helps us populate the station in terms of looking at potential candidates for consultant and staff work. And we're doing it right now. My latest hire is 24 years old. He's on board as a consultant and went through an evaluation period, and he is now a productive consultant. And per union regulations, within 90 days, we have to move him to a staff position or terminate his work with us. So short answer is yes, we are looking to do everything that we can to populate that grant field. Right now, there's nothing there, but there will be.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to ask you a couple questions now, Jerry. You were talking about, we were talking momentarily there about the call center or call centers and the one that you're using. There's been talk since I've been around about consolidating and taking advantage of what are sometimes called economies of scale by having all of the stations utilize single vendors to provide a variety of services, insurance. I think Teresa mentioned, I momentarily forgot what she said, but there's also the idea of having a common call center. Are you amenable to working with the national office to adopt a common call center whereby we would get lower rates around the network because we'd have higher volume and they could get to know us better and we might get better service from them? Is that something you'd be open to considering? And has anybody approached you with that yet?
I have not been approached, but I will say that I am open and amenable to that because in my previous experience in corporate media, if you will, that was the standard practice. I mean, down to buying office paper, everything was unified. The software that was utilized to do so was SAP, sourcing and procurement, where, you know, if we did unified purchases, there were a lot of savings to be realized. So I am amenable to that. I think there might be some vulnerabilities to the unified approach, though, but because you don't ever want to go into default, because the whole foundation would be affected. So there are some cautions, but I'm amenable to that tactic.
Good point. Jerry, on another item, it seems like structurally this budget goes from October to February where you're using actuals. And then I guess starting in March, because possibly you don't have the financials yet, you go over to a projected budget as a normal budget. Is that the case?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. And I've got a little bit of overstrike on my printout. I'm making some sense of it. Because I'm looking at
Jim, if I could, that's not the case. This budget is 100% budget. There are no actuals on this document.
Thank you for that, Kamal. I was wondering about that because it seemed like some of the numbers were strikingly similar. So I appreciate your chiming in with that.
Thanks, Kamal. Yeah.
And just to go on to another subject then, there was mention made, you know, you were discussing the move and how that could really help you with this budget. And, you know, we hope that some kind of a move can be accomplished to save on the costs there. Can you comment for us on I've been listening to some of the discussion at TFW about this, and there seems to be a concern about not having a community space. And that's kind of what our old model used to be. We had large station buildings, and they functioned like community centers where people hung out, you know, people met their spouses there, and, you know, all kinds of things happened there. And especially with COVID, of course, but even before COVID, that kind of use of our stations has decreased. And at the same time, we've run into these financial difficulties where it's difficult to maintain these large buildings. And so it seems like the new, at least at the so-called Festival Center, where you are one of the places that you've looked at to possibly move to, you have the advantage of having a smaller footprint of smaller space, smaller number of square feet for the studio, but you also have accessibility there for large community open spaces where you can have concerts or, you know, as you called it, events with an audience. And you can, I guess, rent and utilize that space as needed. Could you comment on any of that about the whole need for a community center and how the availability of the space at this other center that you're possibly going to go to compensates for that?
The most benign way that I can put it is that it was misstated, incorrectly stated that this was not a community-oriented space. It is much more community-oriented than the space that we are in, although the immediate footprint is smaller. Where we are currently is in the financial district of Washington, D.C., K Street. It is a business area. It is not a neighborhood by any stretch of the imagination. This move puts us back into the community known as Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C., where we were before we made the emergency move to K Street. The facility that we are proposing to move into has a much larger social footprint, but it is in shared spaces as opposed to us renting specific space for ourselves. The space that we do have for ourselves at the new facility is enough for us to have the standard LSB meetings. We have a conference room just outside of our suite. There are other conference rooms that are available. So there may be times where we will be in competition for booking space at the facility. But again, it was just simply incorrect. It is a very social space. There are neighbors in that building that are similarly chartered. Their charters look very much like the Pacifica and PFW charters. There are social organizations there that are excited for us to be joining and are already looking to collaborate with us. So it's the, let's see, the latest memo that came to the station from one of our programmers that visited the facility, one of my main programmers, her comment was that it was pregnant with possibilities in terms of how social we'll be able to be in terms of interacting with the community at the new location. So have no fear, even though it is technically a smaller footprint in terms of square footage, the facility itself is much larger and much more accessible. So we will be able to accommodate almost anything that our community and our board could throw at us, but not in the immediate operational area, which is a certain advantage too, because my priority has always been air, and operations. So we can do social things that will not interfere with the operation of the station, because our operational footprint is pretty much isolated to operations.
Well, you must be doing something right, because you've got the best audience numbers in the network, market share, and you've got, you're doing pretty well on your fiscal side as well. I have one more quick question, and then I'm going to open up again for others. Can you give us, especially for the benefit of those who are listening who aren't looking at this budget, can you give us a worst case and a best case scenario for your deficit? If you make the move and everything goes well, you have a certain savings, I think you said $140,000. If you don't make the move and you don't achieve any other kind of savings on the rent, what are we looking at as a worst case scenario for a deficit and a best case scenario?
Kamal might be able to speak to those numbers much quicker than I could. So, Kamal, best case and worst case, can you do that? Because I can start pulling numbers, but you might have those figures closer to your head than I do.
And it's not the whole thing.
Well, I mean, it's not really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so for us, it's not really figures that we need. I mean, essentially what you're looking at on this budget right here is a full 12-month built in at the current 1990 K Street office. So essentially you would knock down the rent line by the amount of the potential move over to 1640 Columbia, and everything else would pretty much stay stagnant. There may be some other rental costs and things in there for shared spaces in the new place, but essentially you're looking at just knocking down that office rent line by the $5,000 to $6,000 a month that Jerry mentioned.
And then we're no longer in a deficit budget. Then we're no longer in a deficit budget,
correct?
Right? Gotcha.
Correct.
That's what I thought, yes. So this is the worst-case budget, I believe, then, right
Got
now.
It. Very good. Understood. Any other questions from anyone?
Oh, I'll have a. I'll ask a question. Do you have any success at vehicle donations?
Great success. Yes, we do. We have a company that we've contracted with, and they handle our vehicle donations, and it is almost transparent. It happens. It's just a matter of us looking at how many donations were made each month. There are suggestions to use more aggressive companies and more dynamic companies to increase the take there, and we'll explore that also. But the one that we have been using has worked for the station for the past couple of years. And
is that the same station? Is that the same company that three of the other stations are using?
I have no idea. I think that this one is local. I have no idea. And that would be someplace where we should be unified also.
That all three?
I'd like to.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Quick statement in terms of sharing ideas. I would like to share an idea from WPFW that has helped us with our audience share. We have a presence in our market other than just on air. We've got banners, and we attend events so people know us visually, if you will. And I think that as a network, you know, we need to come out of our studio altars and get out into the community as much as possible. And it can be painful. It can be a lot of work. But we do remotes on a monthly and sometimes on a weekly basis. And that, I think, helps a lot in terms of increasing our listenership because we just have a community presence. All the, you know, we are community radio, so we should be in the community. And I want to share that with all the signal areas. Get out. You can. Get out, do remotes. People like seeing what they hear.
Well said. Jerry, I have a somewhat tangentially related question, which has to do with sharing programming and cooperative efforts. I know that WBAI and WPFW have shared some programming. They've shared some, they've had some collaborations on fundraising. And First, I want to ask you how that has gone. What's your evaluation of that? And second, I want to make a comment about how in some circles in Pacifica, that is controversial, that stations in the network, we should share programming network-wide and among stations. It's controversial as an idea, but really, if you get down to it and you really look at it up close, there's a lot of it that's going on already, and doesn't seem to be controversial in the application, but sometimes the idea is controversial. Can you say a little bit about your collaboration with WBI and whether it's successful financially, if you've been trying that, and what your thoughts are about entertaining some national programming, maybe some programming from the affiliates? And also sharing some WPFW programming. It seems like you've got an awful good lineup there of music programs that might be useful elsewhere. What are your thoughts?
We are very anxious to share. We would like to see the foundation network much, much, much more widely. I don't see why or where there would be any controversy, because we just happen to have a unique broadcast position in this country as a foundation that we've not capitalized on. I mean, we can start with the five sister stations. That's quite the coverage of the country, actually. Where I came out of corporate broadcasting for a time, there was a tactic that was known as the round robin, where newscasts would rotate around the major cities in the country. Specifically, that was ABC News. They would feature domestic news coming out of Chicago, economic news coming out of New York, political and federal news coming out of Washington, utilizing bureaus and signal areas to do so. And it was a pretty unique approach back then, but of course technology has changed. But we've moved so far beyond it that nobody is actually looking at that type of technique once again. And if we can combine the utilization, take it all the way through, utilize the affiliates. Now we have a broadcast network unlike any other, because one of the things that we do and say at WPFW is that we are bi-directional broadcasting. We receive input from our audience. We take calls, for instance, all the time. People call into the station and participate in shows. And we take suggestions from our audience all of the time. And if we expanded upon that concept network-wide and include feedback and programming from the affiliates, the foundation would have a completely unique product. And we think financially it would, for absolute certain, qualify us for all manner of grants, you know, CPB, for instance. I think it's something that we almost have a duty to do, something that we should be doing. If we're calling ourselves community radio, we've got issues all around the country that should be amplified, perhaps unified, because problems that folks may be having in Houston might be some of the same problems that communities are having in Los Angeles. So besides sharing ideas of what we're independently doing in each area, I'm looking forward to massive collaboration between signal areas and affiliates. I come from a network background, and it's sitting there. I've said it before, we're a network that doesn't know it yet. It wouldn't cost us any money to achieve this. We would just have to change our behavior and change the way we operate as a foundation. And I believe the affiliates would appreciate it also. And they would become more like resources to the foundation.
Well said. Thank you for that. We are about at time for this item, but I feel like we could go on almost indefinitely. Let me first ask, is there anyone else who has any other questions at this time? Hearing none, then I have another question, which is, I'm just going to put it out there for discussion, which is, we have several members who are not here tonight. We just received this budget fairly recently. So I'm sure some of us haven't had a chance to look deeply into it at the actual numbers and the line items. Is there a sense that we need to possibly come back to this in a couple of weeks, or how do people feel about possibly voting on it now? So I'm just going to open that, you know, let people comment on that if they wish. Anybody has a remark?
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I think it would be better to, because this is a deficit budget, I think it would be better to wait to see maybe a week or two to see whether the that contract goes through or the location, because that would immediately change the budget, right?
That's correct.
It would.
Yes,
it would.
Back to the stack.
Cool. Well, let's see if Jerry wants to. I thought they might have a comeback there.
I think we are looking to come to a decision after the 25th. We are giving our local governance until the 25th to explore their alternatives. And immediately at or after the 25th, we would like to proceed with either their alternatives or this proposed new contract.
Thank you, Jerry. Are you done, Teresa?
Yeah.
Good. Beth?
Thank you. Yes. First, I'd like to thank Jerry for a very clear, coherent, orderly presentation. It really helps paint a picture in the mind for I feel like I have a much greater familiarity with the overall operation at PFW than what I have had until now. So thank you for that. I'm content to wait. It makes sense if there's this big decision pending, and especially given that it at least for now it's a deficit budget, and we have a few members missing. I would point out that our next meeting is scheduled for the 23rd, but I don't see, given that we're already this far into the fiscal year, and that passing the budget or not is not likely to change much. It's not like there's anything grand waiting on our decision on this now. I don't see any harm in waiting. Thank you.
Aaron, for the staff.
James, are you muted?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am talking again to the ether. I was just saying, I was asking if there was anybody else behind Sharon that wanted to get on the stack.
Yeah,
right, I'll
Julie.
Ask again if you're done. Okay, I hear you, Julie. Gotcha. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, I just was thinking it might be, if possible, if we do vote, if we review this in a couple weeks, it would be nice if we could get some actual numbers for some of the months, some of the earlier months of the fiscal year. So maybe that would be possible to do, and then we could look at it again with actual. I don't know if that's possible, but if it would be possible, that would be helpful.
Well, let's ask Jerry and Kamau what their thoughts are on that.
Kamau,
we might need to talk to Martita as well.
I'm sorry, Kamau, I yield to you. What do you think in terms of populating it with the actuals?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would ask that the national office put that together, and if we can come back and look at it, that'd be fine.
Well, let's ask the national office what they think about that.
Maybe it's not necessary. It wasn't too difficult, but okay, ask the national office. I know everybody's busy. I just put it out there as a suggestion.
Yeah, well, the national office just happens to be here, so let's ask Stephanie her thoughts.
No problem. I'll run it by Marquita, and we'll add that column.
I think that sounds like a good idea. Thank you for that. Okay, Julie, were you done, Sharon?
Yes.
Good, thank you. Julie.
Yeah, I just want to I'm okay with not passing it tonight, but I just want to point out that I really think that we should aim for passing it ASAP because, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, it is, we are in the second half of the fiscal year, and it's exactly, sort of moving into, this late into the fiscal year that then we have, discussions over, well, should we substitute the actuals for the months that have already happened, and then that changes the budget or changes the potential, deficit surplus nature of the budget. And then we have to talk about it even longer. And then lo and behold, it'll be the end of the fiscal year and we won't have passed the budget. When really what this committee is supposed to do is pass budgets before the beginning of the fiscal year so that stations operate against those budgets and we don't have conversations about, do we insert actuals because everything happens beforehand. It's purely a budget. It's purely a plan. And then we use the entire rest of the fiscal year to gauge how are the stations doing, how are the units doing against their budget. And, budgets aren't perfect. They're plans. And plans change because, facts and events change, right? And so, so that's what I want us to get into. And that's why, I would rather we voted on this tonight, but if people aren't comfortable doing that, then honestly, I think we should do it in 2 weeks, 4 weeks at the most, because, you know, in four weeks, yes, we'll be down to only a quarter of the fiscal year left.